kicking the crutches. I gave opportunity for a couple of people to help me name the lesson today, the message today. And we are in the series with David. We're in 1 Samuel, 19, 20, 21. We're gonna conglomerate a bunch of activity because now David is going from the top of the world to the bottom of the world. How many know it can go from calm to chaos overnight? And David is anointed by Samuel the prophet, his mentor. He's in the king's palace with Saul. He's got favor with Saul. He's right hand, armor bearer to Saul. Saul gives him Michal, his daughter. He's married now. David is married. Can you believe it? Behind every successful husband is a surprise mother-in-law. David's now married. He's married. Favor has come up. He's in the palace. He don't even know what to do with himself. He's at the top of his game. The ladies are coming in, but they're coming from war. They're saying, Saul slayed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. David. Y'all should have jumped in right there. You ready? David. This is what's going on. It's kind of like David. It's like he is the champion. Took out Goliath. He is seated in the palace. He's on his way. And then the Lord favors him. Last week we talked about with Jonathan, gave him divine connection. How many know the Lord, when he favors you, he sets you up well. And he put all these support systems in David's life to help David get from point A to point B. But now the Lord has this school that he wants to enroll David in. Some of you, how many went to school this week for the first week? First week of school? Okay. David went to his first week of school right here. And the phrase that I want to see repeated here is, that day David fled from Saul, and then David fled, and then David fled, and David fled, and David fled. Could you say that? David fled. David fled. Does that sound like a favor to you? he's running for his life. And so I want you to get this today, and thank you guys for helping me pick the title, Kicking the Crutches. God is about to kick the crutches out from underneath David. Every prop he gave him is about to be kicked out. And so I want you to look at 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. That's where I'm going to start. And then I'm just going to go all over the Bible. You're bound to get something. Amen? It's kind of like the old Puritan preacher, Josiah, when he came home from and somebody was robbing his house, you know, the English old Puritan preacher. And he grabbed his shotgun and he said, I mean thee no harm, my dear brother, but you're standing where I'm about to shoot. And that might be how it goes today. Nothing personal, but we're going to get somebody's going to get something. How many came to get something from the Lord? Amen. So David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. What? Are you kidding me? The king of Gath. Gath is where Goliath was from. This is the enemy's camp. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? Even your enemy. I mean, when your enemy knows you're the king, that is an anointing. Everybody knew the anointing was on David's life. Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? And Saul struck down his, you know, thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid. Much afraid. Now, isn't this different? David is much afraid. Here's the mighty man of God. When the army was afraid, when Saul was afraid, there's no fear in little David. But how many know that sooner or later, when you get the crutches kicked out from underneath you, you have a decision to make. Am I going to continue to have faith in my God who can deliver me? Or am I going to be afraid of this king of Achish? So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane. That's right, my friends. Insanity. Insane in their hands and made marks on the doors. He's scratching at the gate and left his spittle, or he's foaming at the mouth, or drooling, run down his beard. Honey, I'm going to grow a beard. The Bible says you should have a beard. That's what it says right there. You can grow. I'm going to give me a beard. Verse 14, then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen? I resemble that remark. It's like, hey. No, I'm not talking about you, Oak Grove. I've got a lot of... Of course, do I have anybody that's not mad? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come to me in my house? So the custom then is in that day, if somebody was insane or demon possessed or whatever, they would not go into the presence of the king because the king would think that that is inviting a curse into his presence. So get that madman out of here. I have the idea, if you read the Bible and looking at David, who was in the palace with Saul, he has learned some things. Now, 10.5 years has gone by before we get to chapter 21 or before he becomes king. You understand, this is the time of the school of brokenness, the school. God's taking him to school. In your lifetime, by the time you get saved and the time you get to heaven, God is going to take you to school. He's going to school you. He's going to grow you. He's going to mature you. And sometimes he uses trials and adversities, and some churches don't get that. They still think they're living their best life, you know, best-selling book. I'm about to write me a book, Your Worst Life Yet. I wonder how big that goes over. Yeah, I'm not going to Oak Grove. I'm going to this big church over here where they tell me everything's good. At Oak Grove, he tells me everything bad. I'm not telling you everything bad. I'm saying God cares more about your heart than he does your position. God cares more about your heart and your relationship with him than he does your reputation. And you might have a lot of friends on Facebook. You know, there's some people have all kinds of friends on Facebook, but they're not a friend of God. How many know you're absolutely bankrupt? You can have thousands of friends on Facebook. If God is not your friend, how many know you are bankrupt? Spiritually, relationally, in every way. So this whole message is to see what God is doing in David's life to this point. And so if you're just joining us for the first time, David is anointed by Samuel, right? God's choice. Samuel anoints him. He wanted everybody else, but he took David because God took David. Amen? How many found out that God will choose people you never choose? And he will raise up people and bring people down. Sovereign God is through this whole story, and I want to try to show you a little bit about that. But a boy is being made into a king, and God kicking the crutches to help him to become a student of God's heart. A worshiping warrior who longed to worship. He knew the value of worship, and he knew the value of warfare. In meditating and preparing for this message this week, I thought American church has duped the church into thinking that an hour in worship is something that is an enjoyable experience and not a warfare experience. Can I tell you, for the first 15 minutes of this service, you were trying to break through in warfare? That's why we try to get you to spend elongated amount of time in worship, because worship and praise breaks down the physical barrier so you can get the word into your spirit, man. It's praise and worship that opens up the door for you to get to God and close to God's heart. And that's what's happening. And yet today in worship services all over the planet, people are knocking out the lights and raising up the drum and just going to town, and they call in it worship, and there's some worshiping people in there. But how many know worship is not to entertain you? God's not here to entertain you until you become king. God's not here to entertain you till you get to your destiny. God's job description through the Holy Ghost is to prepare you to be the man or woman of God who is after his own heart. And David desired warfare and worship, and he desired to do the will of God. He knew how to rest and worship. I wonder if there's anybody here knows how to rest in worship. Could you lift your hands? Just lift your hands. Come on. There's a presence of the Lord. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of the Lord. If you know David, many, many, many times David sat under a tree somewhere watching the sheep playing his harp. He knew how to just sing, I love you, Lord, and I, my voice to worship you. Rejoice.
Take joy, my King.
He knew what it was like. That's it.
May it be a
You see, he wasn't trying to be king. He was in love with the king. And yet, when you get in the palace, all of a sudden these, I don't know, accolades of men and women are singing you're the best. I mean, it could get in your head. And what gets in your head has a tendency to mess up your heart. Is anybody hearing me? But David knew how to relax and worship. Okay, it wasn't relaxed. It was more like rest. Because when he relaxed on the rooftop, he got in trouble. We'll get that on later on. But this was rest. But then he runs into warfare. When he met with Goliath, he ran into warfare. He ran. It was just. So he's got this dichotomy between a restful worshiper playing harp in the presence of the king. Actually calmed down a madman king. And then he goes into warfare. I'll kill you. I love you, Lord. I will knock your brains out. Maybe he is a madman, huh? But he knows, even later we'll find out, he knows how to repent from wrongdoing. So he knows how to rest and worship. He knows how to run into warfare. He knows how to repent from wrongdoing. And he knows how to restore himself in the Lord. David has a man after God's own heart. And through this season of time, listen to what he writes in Psalm 73, 25 through 26. Whom have I in heaven but you, O Lord? And besides you, I have nothing on this earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. Through this journey, God got David to a place that even when he kicked all the support systems out from underneath him, he then learned how to trust the Lord. Amen? So having a heart after God means involving your whole being in the process of getting your heart near enough to God to hear his words and know his will. It's the same thing that Moses said, Lord, I want to know your ways. I do want to know your ways, but I want to know your will. I want to hear your word. I want to be in your presence. And David was a man after God's heart. So simply put, David knew the truth about God. Psalm 104, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. I can just see David under the trees with his harp or whatever he played. You know, he made instruments. Not only did he play instruments, he made instruments. I'm going to turn some air on because I know y'all freezing, but I'm burning up. And I wear my emotions on my shoulders, and my tongue is a match to my emotions, so I say what I'm feeling. Is that all right with you? Praise God. So listen to me. These lights, I mean, I can't preach to you in the dark, but it's hot up here. Okay, so God, put your blanket on, and let's get to the Word of God. So here's what David knew. He knew about God's presence. He knew about God's purpose. He knew about God's protection and God's power. And he showed up in chapter 17, and he said, God said to David, hey, you know what? The covenant I made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, it's the same thing. The deal is still on. Is anybody here glad that the deal's still on? Some 4,000 years after Abraham, God's still making covenant with you and with me. And he's searching for people who have a heart after God. He said, my covenant man will be king and no enemy will stop him. Amen? Not Goliath, not Saul, not nobody, nothing, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So place your confidence in the Lord and he will never let you down. And then last week we saw the awesome relationship with Jonathan and David. And wow, what a friend, what a blessing, what a type of Christ that he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen? And then we saw what God had decreed in eternity past. Sovereign God will manifest itself in the fullness of time. As I'm looking at this whole series, and I'm wanting to take my time through it, I hope you're enjoying it, but there's certain phrases that are catching me. Like the Lord was with David. The Lord was with David. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David. And David's anointed. David has purpose. David has destiny. And God put sovereignly the right time, the right people. And if you're struggling with your future destiny, be patient. How many know time is the usher of eternal purposes of God? In time. How many know in due season, God will bring a harvest if we don't give up. And so time will reveal what God has in mind for your life. God has a plan for your life, but you must be patient. Now to our text. David is at King Achish's house, palace. And he don't know where to turn. He's done all he knows to do, but God puts him in the school of brokenness and is kicking out all of the crutches. I mean, he's anointed by Samuel, you know, and he gets his first job. His job is to be the worshiper in the presence of the king. But David could handle that because he was really worshiping not King Saul, but King Jesus or Yahweh. King of the universe. How many know he's worthy of our praise? I said there's not a man on the planet worthy of our praise like our God. And you can see it in the Psalms. David calls God king many times because he understands the, the pilgrimage that people make and the homage people pay to man. And David said, you know what? There's nobody like God. And so for the next 10 and a half years, he marries the daughter of Saul, and he's friends with Jonathan. And the next 10 and a half years, David, who has been propped up and blessed with all support, God blessed him. Now God's taken it away. All of his stability, all of his props are going to be stripped. And the first one is his job with the king. Up to this point, things are going very well in chapter 18. Like I said, he's the chief musician. He needed that. He leaned on that. He saw it as a chance maybe to advance in the chief in the army. So Saul makes him commander-in-chief in the army and his armor bearer. So David's stepping up. I mean, how many of you ever stepped into a blessing? Anybody? I mean, just walking along and all of a sudden from one day to the next, God gives you a promotion. God gives you a blessing. Anybody here ever feel like God has blessed you? And that's how David's walking along, and he learned how to lean on that, because that's what happens sometimes. You say, well, Pastor, we all need to work. We all need to eat. And the Bible says if man don't work, he don't eat. But God who gave it, how many know it's the same God who can take it away? That's why we believe in tithing. Because if you forget to honor God with your resource, how many know the Lord who gave it can take it away. Oh, there we go talking about money. No, this is not about money. This is about honoring the covenant you made with God. If God gave you that job, how many know you better hold on to that and depend on God, not the job. So the first thing God kicks out from underneath David is his job. And God is still God. Amen? The Lord gives. Job said he lost everything. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. But help me out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God's going to kick this crutch out, and we have a tendency, many of us, to put our trust in our jobs, our work. Ministers do the same, put their value in what they do for God instead of working with God. They're starting to work for God. Is anybody hearing me? God's not interested in you working for him. He wants to work with you, not you to work for him. He's not your employer. How many know God is your Savior, your Lord, your God? He's your sovereign. He's your help. He's your hiding place. He's your pavilion. You don't hide in your job and run away and do your job. How many know it's God that is our hiding place? So God strips that away and kicks that job out from under him. And he says, yeah, you want to find your value in that? Don't listen to the noise. Don't listen to the voices of the ladies singing how great you are. How many know it's how great he is? You're not King David because you're awesome. You're awesome because I did everything. You did nothing. So don't think you beat that giant. All you did was hold the rock. David knew his gifting, and that's what made him a leader. And I think any leader who is successful knows to some degree their own giftings. David was a worshiping, rock-throwing maniac. But he was a little small guy. There's no way he can win against Goliath. How many believe the Holy Spirit anointed David to kill Goliath? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the lion and the bear and everything else he goes through. And I want you to see that as we go through. God himself wants to be your hiding place. Chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. That night, David lost his job, his position in the palace. And the one who became popular overnight and the king's son-in-law, married to the king's daughter, was kicked out of the palace. And what I want you to see is that in the providence of God, David was put out of his position. So before you go blaming your employer or blaming your job or blaming this or blaming that, how many know the steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord? Not everything that goes wrong seemingly is from the enemy. God might be trying to temper you or mold you or make you to see how much he can trust you and if you can handle adversity. So God pulls crutch, kicks it right out. He says, oh my, what am I going to do without my job? The Lord gave it. It's his. Amen. So I want you to see, David could have thought, man, how could I ever become king? And I don't even live in the palace anymore. I saw myself heading to my destiny. I'm living in the palace. I'm with Michael, the daughter of the king. I'm his armor bearer. I'm his man. I'm his second. Jonathan's my friend. He gave me his armor. He gave me his robe. This is mine. How many know that as soon as you say, this is mine, the Lord will snatch that from you and kick that crutch out. Is anybody hearing me? Learning how to lean on the Lord is the point here. And so God wanted David to say, Lord, I place my trust in you and you alone. I will lean safely on the Lord. Amen? And solely on the Lord. I don't need this crutch. I need the Lord. I don't understand all that's happening to me, Lord, but I trust you. Second crutch was the crutch of his wife, Michal. Now, the Bible says, when you find a wife, you find a good thing. Come on, all the guys said. That was so lame. Y'all missed a good time to shout, and your wife's going to talk to you at lunch. I tell you that right now. When a man finds a wife, the Bible says he found a... You guys are not getting it. I want you to say, God, listen, good is God extended. G-O-D. You add another O, and you got good. How many know good is God extended? So your wife is goo. That's what the Bible says. Y'all gonna make me have a Holy Ghost fit up here. I believe Michal genuinely loved David. And David loved her and he grew strength from her support as long as it lasted. The problem is it didn't last that long, right? And you know what happened as God gave him his wife and she helps David out the window as he's running from Saul in the situation. She walks away from David. She's loyal to her father and their relationship will never be together again. They will never be together again. Lord gave him a wife. Lord took away a wife. So some of you might have gone through that. I married this woman or this man in the will of God and all of a sudden they're gone. They're gone. I mean, the Lord is in control of your life. And Satan tries to take advantage of us when we don't understand everything. We get an earthly dimensional perspective and God's wanting you to get a heavenly perspective. Can I tell you, divorce is single. How many believe he's still God? He's still God. Don't die in that desert. If the Lord gave you one, how many know he can give you another? Oh, but there'll never be one like that one. Oh, yeah, there will. There will be. God can find him. I remember I was changing staff one time. It happened to be a young adult pastor. And he came to me, Pastor Ray. Y'all remember Ray and Misha? No? Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, he came to me and said, Brother Ron, what are you going to do? I mean, me and Misha are leaving. I said, I know. The whole thing's going down the tubes there, Ray. The whole thing's going down the tubes. I said, Ray, I know your heart, buddy. And you're concerned about Oak Grove and you're concerned about me. But the same God. Is anybody here? I said, Ray, the same God that gave me Ray and Misha can give me another Ray and Misha. Or even better, possibly. If you're listening online, Ray, I thought you were awesome. Okay, just one second. I'm just saying. Everything's taped and can't say nothing today. Anyway, don't get offended. I loved you, brother. Anyway, so God has taken another crutch away from him as she sides with her dad to keep her status. She loses her security. Of her husband. She kept her status with her daddy and lost her husband. How many know sometimes you got to choose? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Watch the covenants God's put you in. You better be making the covenant, sticking to the covenant. Otherwise, God will, if you put your confidence in your spouse, God will kick that crutch right out from underneath you. Say, Pastor, that's a pretty intimate relationship. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And many times people put their confidence so much in their spouse that if they lose their spouse, they can't live. How many know Jesus is still alive and he's your husband? I know, guys, y'all can't handle that, but he's your husband. You're still the bride of the church. So We see him keep on running. He's looking for another thing. What happens is when we have one crutch kicked out, we look for another crutch. We're always trying to lean on something. Always got to be somebody that could help me. Where would I go now? I'm out of the palace. I don't have my job. I go to my wife. My wife puts you out the window and she goes, where do I go now? So the third crutch is Samuel the prophet, chapter 19, verse 18. When David had fled, he fled. Okay, his mentor. When David fled, he went to Samuel and told him all about Saul, the madman who's trying to kill him. And what did Samuel do? He said, what are you talking about? Saul's coming over here. We need to both get out of here. I mean, that's a smart mentor right there. Just get down to the bottom tack, brass tacks. I ain't dying. Neither are you. We're leaving. So they took off. And Samuel said, we got to get out of Dodge here. So they took off from Ramah to Naoth at Ramah. And Saul sent men over there where Samuel was training at the school of the prophets. So Samuel been here before. This is a little ways past Jerusalem where they trained the prophets in the school of the prophets. Boy, I tell you. It'd be a good idea today if America had a place to train ministers. I said, wouldn't it be awesome if God would raise up a place to train men and women of God to do ministry for God? Maybe not. We closed it in this city, but that's all right. We'll keep going on. We'll pray it through until God raises up another one. I'm a CBC grad, but I paid all my money to evangel, so don't get offended. So here we go. Here we go. So what did Samuel do? He said, we got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. Interesting, though, when the Saul's men came and saw a group of prophets prophesying with Samuel, their leader. I want you to tell you, when something you don't understand happens, it's not a bad idea to get with other men and women of God and start praying in the Spirit. Start getting in the Spirit. They were in the Spirit. They were prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord was on them. Gifting comes in the glory when you are Spirit-filled leaders. God will help you. And while they were prophesying, the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men and they started prophesying. I mean, you might have looked at that before and thought it was a holy experience, but it was quite a holy experience, all right. But the word prophecy can be prophesying blessing, and it can also be prophesying and cursing. And so what happened was the Spirit of the Lord came on these guys and deterred them and distracted them from David and Samuel and trying to harm them. Instead of speaking things of God, they were ranting and raving as the Lord put it on them. And that's how the Spirit operated in that day. God anointed the man, and the Spirit empowered the man for every season. You will see. How many know the Holy Spirit will come upon him and help him out in every situation? But we often read the Bible. Can I tell you there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible? How many found out there's a difference between reading it and studying it? You get into it and study it a little bit more. You don't just think that Saul is prophesying to God. He's a madman trying to kill David and Samuel. So he's certainly not prophesying in the Spirit. He's prophesying by the Spirit. Big difference. Big difference. Just for interesting note, doesn't look like you were amazed about it anyway. So let's keep going. Seems like it looks holy at first, but they're not in any way holy. So before Samuel, they were before Samuel, prophesying like prophets, but ranting and raving under the influence of the curse from the Spirit. So David is on the run again, and we go on to chapter, and God kicked the crutch out from underneath him. His mentor couldn't help him out as much as he could, but he got out from under him so he would lean on the Lord. That was his third crutch. His mentor could only take him so far. And I'm thankful for mentors, aren't you? Men and women of God who invest and speak life to us and try to help us, but they will take you so far. How many know you can't put your confidence in man? How many times have we seen that you put your confidence in man, man will disappoint you. But if you put your confidence in the Lord, how many believe the Lord will never leave you or forsake you? You can put your confidence and faith and trust in the name of the Lord. He will never let you down. I said, he will never lead you astray. He will never trick you. He will never manipulate you. He's always looking out for you. Does anybody here believe the Lord's on your side? So, I mean, he loses his mentor. He loses his wife. He loses his job. And then the fourth crutch, chapter 20, he runs to see his best friend. Why wouldn't he? I mean, Jonathan, we talked about it last week. What a relationship. Wow. This man lays it down. You know what? I think you're anointed. I see the anointing on your life. I give you my armor. I give you my robe. I give you my position. I give you my title. But I can't give you my daddy, because my daddy's a madman. And even Jonathan is torn. He don't know. He's vacillating. And he loves David. He runs to, you know, David runs to see Jonathan. David says to his best friend, "What have I done?" How many ever been to that place where you get to your friend? How many know if in all your lifetime you can find one confidant, one friend that you can tell everything to? That's where he ran. This is his fourth one. Then David fled from Naoth and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? What did I do? What is my sin before the Father that your father seeks to kill me? What did I do? All I did was play the harp for him. This isn't fair. I went and took out the armies. I brought him the foreskins. I'm his armor bearer. I didn't let nobody harm him. I only spoke good of him. I didn't sing 'David is great.' The women sang that." So Saul, who invited him, was the one that is fighting him. Have you ever been in a place where the one that invited you is the one you are fighting with? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I ain't got time to go in there, but I'm just telling you, this is what's going on. He don't understand it. How many of you ever had a pity party? Anybody? Lord, this just ain't fair. Jonathan, I need somebody to cry with me. Jonathan, help me here. Saul is hunting me down. I know that because chapter 20, verse 3, "As sure as the Lord lives and you live, there is only one step between me and death." Jonathan, hey, Johnny boy, I'm about to die. I'm about to die. I don't know where to go. My wife left me. I lost my job. It sounded like an old country song. There's only one step between me and death. I think I'm about to die. Oh, but I remember that one scripture. I can't think of it where it's at right now. He said, "I was just about dead, but the Lord rescued me." David, he's going through something, and God's helping him because the truth is that God still has a plan for David's life. If David doesn't give up in this dilemma, God's going to bless him. And look at Jonathan. Jonathan said to him, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you." No wonder David went to Jonathan. How many know where your bread is buttered? You don't even know what that means. Some of millennials are like, "Is he wanting to eat some bread and butter?" It's an old saying that says, you know when you got a good thing going. Kids know. My new grandbaby knows where his bread is buttered. He gets away with murder, right? It's the way it is. So Jonathan's going to bless him. Jonathan's going to help him. Jonathan's going to give him what he needs. No wonder David leaned on Jonathan. Jonathan goes as far as he can to protect David. But in the end, he has to send David away for his own safety. Verses 41 and 42, we see a tearful departing of these close friends. And they will never meet anymore in person. David will do his funeral and never see Jonathan again. Sad. Michael's gone. David's gone. Samuel's gone. The anointing's gone. No, the anointing's not gone. Come on, somebody say amen. That's the whole point of this, and I'm just trying to trick you. So we see another crutch, right, removed, a greatest best friends can be. How many know you need more than a talk on the phone? David's getting to a place. He's about to die. I don't need you to be my BFF. I don't need you to like me on Facebook. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. This world is dying for friends. Dying for friends. That's why Facebook took off. And he's got, "Oh, I got a friend. I'll befriend you. I'll friend you. I'll friend you. Like. BFFFFFFFF. God bless America. But even his best friend is gone. He lost his job. He lost his palace, he lost his wife, he lost his mentor, he lost his best friend. Where does he go? Number five, he goes to his pastor. Y'all didn't think I'd get in the screen, but I got in the script. I didn't get in the script. The script was already written. How many know this is the word of the Lord? So he goes to Ahimelech, the priest. And that's where, remember whenever he defeated Goliath, he brought his weapons to the temple? That's where it was, over there. And so he certainly thinks his pastor can help him because pastors are awesome. Amen. Amen. I got one amen out the whole service. And David went to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. Thank God for pastors. Look at verse 8. David asked, Pastor, do you have anything? Look at it, verse 8. Do you have anything? I mean, are you getting pretty desperate when you ask your pastor, do you have anything? I'm out. I'm all out. I'm losing everything. I'm on my last. Pastor, if you don't come through, I'm dead. And so Ahimelech says, I have Goliath's sword. David said, I'll take it. He could have said, I have a stick. I think David would have took it. Pretty desperate. David took it. But another interesting note, chapter 21, verse 7. I don't know if you're following along. Are they following? Yeah, there they are. Look at verse 7. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. Somebody say that. Detained before the Lord. Do you see smack dab in this whole scenario that God put Doeg, the Edomite, inside the story? God has a plan for your life, and he wanted Doeg to hear what David said to Ahimelech to take back to Saul. So I see intentional sovereignty happen here. I see God inserting into David's life what seemed to be bad. Lord, I'm trying to get them off of me, and you're telling them to go put them on me. That's what it looks like to me. His name was Doeg. I don't know why his mama named him that, but that's what he was. He was an Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen, shepherd boy. And the Lord detained him. I see God's hand here doing God's will. He was there in the will of God to hear David tell Saul. And God was there all the time. Could somebody say amen to that? God is there all the time. 10.5 years of running for his life, cave after cave and place after place, crutch after crutch and support after support. And God keeps kicking every one of them out until David can say, I look to the hills from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. David gets it. He's getting it. God was there all the time. I said, he was there. Oh, y'all are slow and bad. Bad, bad, sad. Stop. Stop. God was there all the time. Pastor Ahimelech gave him water. I think that's symbolic of refreshing from the Holy Spirit. When you come to church, you don't need another opinion of another man. What you need is Holy Spirit refreshing in times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. That's what you get when you go to the house of the Lord. And bread. In fact, Ahimelech says, all the bread I got is holy bread. Have you been with any women? He said, me and my men, we holy. When we're at war, we're not messing. We are focused. That's what he said. Read it and weep, folks. I'm just the messenger. He said, because if you were messing around, I can't give you this bread. But since you are pure, I'll give you this bread. How many know what he's talking about? When you're down in a place where you need some help and you're asking the priest or the pastor or somebody for some help, they ought to give you a fresh, hot, baked bread from off the altar. How many know the word of God is what you need? Fresh word. Water of the Spirit. Let me tell you, if you're new to Oak Grove, we have two things going on here. We have a few more, but we are a Spirit-filled church that believes in the Word of the living God. Hey, there's nothing else that's going to help you. At the end of this sermon, I'm going to let you come to the altar. We believe the Holy Ghost is going to help you. We'll give you the Word and let the Word help you. It's the Word that convicts of sin. It's the Word that conceals and reveals. It's the Word that transforms people's lives. Why would a pastor or preacher give you anything else? And that's what we see here. That's what Ahimelech gave him. There's an Abimelech, and there's an Ahimelech, and there's a whew, there's a whole lot of those. So David ends up starting at the top, goes to the bottom. And here his last support system is kicked out. He reaches an all-time low. He loses his pride, his dignity, his respect. So now we get to our text. All that was introduction. I'm teasing. It's not that bad. The champion who defeated Goliath from Gath runs to Goliath's town, Gath, to the palace of the enemy to find a friend. Can I just stop right here and tell you? I might not finish this sermon, but I'll tell you. you're never going to find a friend in the palace of your enemy. How many know there's some God's people going to try to find God friends in God-forsaken places? How many know if there's idolatry there, two entities cannot take up the same space. Either God's glory is there or the enemy is there. How many know you can't serve God and mammon? You got to choose. But hear how desperate David is. He goes to this place and there's no friends in the enemy's camp. Don't go there. But that's how low he got. And at the gate, chapter 21, 10 through 15, the people recognized it was David. And David was filled with fear for the first time, I think. He exchanges his faith for fear. That's a whole nother story. But he says, I got a great idea. I'm going to act like a madman. I'm going to act insane. Here's what I believe. I believe David knew that because he was in the palace with Saul. How many believe God prepares you in the palace before what you're going to get when you're in the pit? All these years, David didn't forget how Saul knew some of those protocols and things. And he knew one king is just like another king. So David, how did David get there? How did he go from there to here? Usually we say, how do we go from here to there? David's asking himself, how did I go from there to here? I thought the Lord anointed me. I thought the Lord blessed me. I thought I had a plan and a future. And if you're not careful, Satan will deceive you and tell you everything God said was a lie. And you'll throw in your own towel and you will quit. Because Satan cannot do anything. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Satan doesn't have any power, and he can't take anything from you that God gave you. How many know the callings and the blessings of God are without repentance? God's not taking it back. Satan wants him to forfeit it right there at the gate of the enemy. That's what's going on. So the mighty warrior, scratching on the gates and drooling on his beard like a madman. And then the real last crutch here, he has nothing left. Every dream, every promise, it seems like everything, every part of his goals, every hope for fulfilling his destiny as king falls at his feet. Nobody's there, nothing left, no more props. God kicked everything out and no one to lean on. All crutches are gone. He's alienated. He is alone. He is afraid. Why? If you're here today and you're asking why, I got 5 minutes to tell you. Because you are anointed. You understand? Satan can't. Don't believe the lies of Satan. If God anointed you and gave you a promise and a destiny, how many believe God's going to fulfill that promise? And as he puts you through the fire, David is going through the refiner's fire. And he's got to blop him and he's got to fire him and he's got to blop him again. And you know what blopping is? It's taking the clay and throwing it on the cement to get all the air bubbles out so that when they put it and form it and put it in the fire, it doesn't burst and spoil the vessel. God has a plan for David's life and God has a plan for your life. And so he's going through all this blopping. He's crippling. He's struggling. He's walking like old Joshua. How many know God took Joshua's hip out of socket too when he wrestled with God? Jacob wrestled with God and God kicked him in the hip and he missed the crutch and caught him in the hip, but he was trying to kick the crutches out because God has anointed him, because God has a plan. God takes him to the school of training to keep this worshiper on his knees so David can learn to lean on God and not all the other props in his life. Christy's going to come back. I might not be able to finish it. Do you think I can go fast, Justin, while they come? Let's go through these things. I want to ask you this. Did David learn anything? Oh, yes, he did. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I think I can finish it. Would you like me to finish it and I can preach something else next week? Okay, Psalm 34. At least my wife, who I still have, she wants to hear it. So I'm going to say it. My wife wants to hear it. Praise God. Thank you for the amen. Psalm 34, David, when he pretended, look at this. The intro to the psalm says he wrote this when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Maybe Abimelech is Ahimelech. I don't know. But anyway, here we go. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Where did he get that? He learned to praise. Let's look at the next verse. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Next verse. Just keep on going as I read it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. It's a powerful one. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. His face was ashamed that day. The angel, I don't know what happened, but this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And next, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Listen to these words. The young lions suffer, want, and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, oh, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, I like this one. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Prophetic about Jesus. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So what did he learn? What did he learn? Did he learn anything? Just put it up there and I'll show them and then we'll go home. Because I love y'all too much to keep you here all day. If y'all have it, I have it. If you don't have it, I don't have it. Got it? Just keep talking and act like I know what I'm doing? Okay. Did David learn anything? Answer me, church. Did David learn anything? Of course he did. Let's see what he learned. In verses 1 through 3, he learned how to praise the Lord. I wonder if you can lift your hand to the Lord right now as Christy starts playing. Just lift your hand to the Lord. And if you're at a place right now, if you're at a place where everything has been kicked out from underneath you, every support system that God actually gave you, he kicks out from underneath you. Simply put, David is doing the will of the Lord. He's doing the will of the Lord. And God helps him to learn how to praise. He found a rock that's higher. His position, his popularity, his people, his pride is no match for the Lord. Psalm 86:10, for thou art great and you do great things. You are God alone. While Chrissy plays, you just worship the Lord. Let me keep reading some scripture. Verses 4 through 7, he learned how to have God's protection. Instead of running to other people, he started learning how to run to God. Psalm 54:17, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Verse 8 through 10, he learned how to have God's provision. He goes to God for his daily needs. He didn't have to go to the pastor anymore to get any bread. How many know the Lord is his shepherd? He has no need of anything. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. I don't have to beg the pastor for bread. God is my provider. Verses 11 through 17, he learned to depend on God's promises. Many people try to give you promises but can't keep them. But the Lord's hand is on the righteous. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He'll never give you a raw deal. Verse 18, he learned how to lean on God's presence instead of the crutches of man. When man cannot be there for you, David found a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He learned, verse 19 through 22, how to lean on the Lord's preservation. In the end, not a single crutch David had was able to keep him or protect him. He had one thing left. He had this one priceless eternal truth that our God is God all by himself. I wonder if you'd lift your hands. Look, come on, stand with me all over the building. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Our God is God all by himself. All by himself. Psalm 61 verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When your wife or your husband can't help you. When your pastor can't help you. When your mentor can't help you. When your job, can't, you can't put your confidence in that. Can't put your confidence in the government or the education system. Thank God for all of it. Thank God for doctors and thank God for hospitals. But how many know you better put your trust in the strong name of the Lord? And maybe you're going through something today. Maybe he's got you smack dab in the middle of a crisis. And you thought it was a curse. But God might call it a blessing. He's trying to make something out of you. The altars are open. I preached a little longer than I wanted to go, but I've delivered everything I needed to say. If you're going through the school of brokenness, I invite you to step up to this altar, and I believe God will give you eternal perspectives about where he is with you. The Lord was with David. 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 Every step of the way. He was there all the time. And don't let Satan lie to you. If you feel like God has anointed you and given you plans and purposes, I invite you this morning. Come. Let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on. Come on. He's not going to leave you dead in this dilemma. We're going to worship the Lord, Miss Chrissy. Let's sing to the Lord. Don't die in the middle of your desert situation. Let the Lord work it out for you. Come on.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you.
Come on, lift your hand, worship the Lord. Tell him how much you love him.
Oh, how we love you.
Come on, respond to the Lord.
You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you.
Has God made anybody any promises?
Oh, how we love you.
Hallelujah.
You are the one our hearts
adore. Some of you in the middle of something. My job. That's a lie.
We love you,
Lord, my spouse. If I didn't have a spouse, I would die. That's a lie.
We love you,
Lord. I need my pastor. I need my church. I need my mentor. I need my friend. You don't need anything but the Lord. All you need.
We thank you.
All you need is the Lord this morning.
Yes, we thank you.
He's going to kick out everything. Everything.
Oh,
kick out everything that puts itself before him.
Oh, yes. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you.
What are you putting your confidence in? That's the question this morning.
You are the one.
What are you placing your confidence in? I'll tell you, folks, sometimes you don't know what you're putting your energy and your time and your confidence in until it gets stripped away. So how many this morning would say, Pastor, I want to thank God for all the structures that God has given me. How many know there's nothing wrong with having a pastor? There's nothing wrong with having a counselor. There's nothing wrong with having a doctor. There's nothing wrong with having some money. Come on, y'all. There's nothing wrong with having a good job, a stable job. There's nothing wrong with having a good wife or husband. There's nothing wrong with having a best friend. But as soon as we even get a hint that we're going to lean on that, the Lord will kick it right out from underneath us. The Lord will kick it right out from underneath us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Looks like every one of you are leaning on the Lord. And that's great. I'm just here to tell you. Maybe it's a preventive maintenance message. I'm here to tell you. You start putting 1 ounce of confidence in man or in money or in position or power or prestige or title or anything, the Lord will strip it away from you. But it's only temporary. How many know this thing is only temporary? Is anybody here glad that the trials are only temporary? They're not eternal. The trials are temporary. So let's lift our hand to the Lord and say, Lord, Almighty God, Lord, we keep, would you keep us? Would you keep us? I know you're bringing us into the school of brokenness. We're enrolling into the school today. Because you have a plan for my life and you have an anointing on my life. Lord, I don't want to fall short of what you want me to do, Lord. I make my own altar here. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to fall short of your anointing. I don't want to disqualify myself from everything you planned in my life. I don't want to set up an altar at the gate of the enemy. I want to set my altar up at the house of the Lord. Father, I want to begin to see your heart. I want to see the beauty of the Lord in the house of the Lord. I want your word to be everlasting in my heart. For every truth, for every Satan's, every time he lies, I want the truth of the word of God to help me. Give me eternal perspective. Give me patience. Give me time, timing, Lord. I know you put people in our lives in certain seasons, but let us not depend upon man. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. What should I be afraid of? I don't have to be afraid of King Achish or Achish or whatever his name is. I don't have to be afraid of Goliath or anything else, because your hand is upon me. Next week, there's going to be one more crutch I'll talk about. In the meantime, keep your head lifted high. Keep an eternal perspective and don't let the enemy lie to you. Father, bless your people today. May we go in peace. May we keep our hearts pure before you. We want to be men and women after your own heart. Don't let us be distracted by things in this world. Position, power, people. Prophets, pastors. Help us to keep our eyes upon the King, the maker of heaven and earth. Bring us back tonight ready to hear how we can handle stress in this world, crazy world. And help us to know that we can always lean and trust on you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.